Hear, hear with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and it cannot be limited without being lost. Well, those were the words of Thomas Jefferson. Lord Justice Leveson, in the meantime, might be forgiven for thinking that he probably didn't envisage phone hacking when he made those comments. But does the principle hold true? If you haven't guessed it yet, this week we're talking freedom of the press.
The press, operating freely and in the public interest, is one of the true safeguards of our democracy. Unfortunately, on too many occasions, those responsibilities have simply been ignored.
Hear, hear with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
And I feel a lively one coming on. I don't think there's going to be much agreement in the studio. Later, we'll be hearing from Neil Wallis, the former News of the World executive, who was arrested for phone hacking, but later faced no charges.
I was the trophy arrest because I was the last senior News of the World person unarrested, as it were.
And on the flip side, our guest of the week is none other than a good friend of mine, former Lib Dem MP Lembit Topic. How are you, Lembit?
Greetings, Sean, and thanks for having me on the programme.
That's all right. I never quite know, because obviously, you know, I've known you for yonks now as a Liberal Democrat MP. Does it hurt to be introduced as a former Lib Dem MP?
Well, it would be dishonest to say I'm a current Lib Dem one.
Are you a current Lib Dem?
I am a current Lib Dem. I'm still a paid-up member, but I'm taking a walk in the wilderness.
Myself
and Nick Clegg may not be best of chums, and I noticed he didn't send me a Christmas card last year, so...
Sort it out, Nick, if you're listening. Of course, this isn't quite Cool Clegg, but you can ask Lembit, and he'll be following on his own Twitter feed.
At Lembitopic. Please follow me on
Please follow him.
I'm not begging yet.
Look, I'll tell you, we're talking about freedom of the press. Generally, there's a consensus across all political parties that the freedom of the press, it's one of those inalienable things. It just must happen. But you would be in favour of some form of statutory regulation. Explain.
Anybody who follows my political career knows that I'm pretty much the biggest libertarian in the country, certainly one of them. In fact, there was some research to say that I was the most libertarian liberal when I was an MP. So inherently, I'm not very keen on regulation. And it really says something about the bankruptcy, the moral bankruptcy of the press, when somebody like me says, actually, self-regulation hasn't worked, it's failed, it's wrecked thousands of lives, and we now have to have statutory regulation.
Yeah, but I mean, it'll be perceived at least, not least by the press, but the public too, that politicians might just be a little bit angry after the expenses revelations.
Oh, yeah, easy to say that. Interestingly enough, even that wasn't reported properly. The late Margaret Thatcher, who was more or less canonised when she died, was actually responsible for introducing that. But the backing there is the
talk of MPs not having pay rises, of course, and that it's alleged that she said, now, just, you know, have a very generous expenses system, and that'll sort it out.
That's what she did. So even that, there was a biased reporting in that. But you know what? It's not really that which caused me to be so sceptical about the ability of the press to regulate itself. It was the way that they handled my personal life and the personal lives of people around me. Endless libels. Repeatedly, I went to the Press Complaints Commission, which was a kind of self-regulation thing. I've never, ever lost a single press complaint, and it made almost no difference. We got the same libels repeated by the same newspapers, pretty much destroying my reputation at the time. Am I bitter about it? No, there's no point in being bitter. But I have been very badly burnt, and I see it carrying on even today.
Yeah, but isn't that the price of a free press, that sometimes there are going to be abuses? Is not the actual issue how it's dealt with?
Well, when it comes down to it, it's a matter of degree. Even, say, 5 years ago, I'd have said, well, let the press do what it needs to do, and there will be some collateral damage, which is very human, oftentimes to individuals who haven't got the right to reply because they can't afford a lawyer. But I've changed my view about that.
You're saying self-regulation isn't working, but how do you then make the leap from self-regulation not working to what Jefferson described? And I'm not putting him up as the absolute doyen of liberty, but he is one of the founding fathers of the United States Constitution. He said that only a despotic government would attempt to limit the freedom of the press.
When Jefferson made those comments, he hadn't anticipated surveillance through electronic means, he hadn't anticipated phone hacking, as you said earlier on, and most importantly, he hadn't anticipated the current environment. And I'd be willing to believe that back then the press was probably a little bit more responsible, certainly more deferential to authority than
should they be
now.
Deferential to authority? Because that's an incredibly worrying suggestion.
Well, I'm not suggesting that they should be deferential, but the reality was that was one of the conditions of reporting when Jefferson was about.
What I'm finding it hard to distinguish is what you're saying is that the executive ultimately has a role there, and that could be dangerous.
It could be dangerous, and this is why we're in this terribly depressing situation where, because the press have shown themselves to be utterly cynical, utterly irresponsible, and utterly uncommitted to the rule of law in this country with phone hacking and so forth, that the executive may have to step in. Having said that, Sean, I think it's absolutely vital that any kind of statutory regulation is done by an independent body which isn't cowed by politicians.
All right, well, I caught up with Neil Wallace, the former News of the World executive at Westminster Magistrates Court earlier in the week when he was supporting some other journalists who were facing charges on phone hacking. And I asked him really to describe his own circumstance.
Not that I will remember this date particularly, but at 6 a.m. on the 14th of July 2011, there was a hammering on my door at 6 a.m. and they'd come to arrest me. The week before, The Guardian had run their story saying that the News of the World had hacked and deleted emails. Mm. That untrue story about deleting emails was to lead to the closure of the News of the World. I was the trophy arrest because I was the last senior News of the World person unarrested, as it were. Mm. And they nicked me. At that time, I'd left newspapers deliberately a couple of years before. I had set up and had ended up the managing director, six-figure salary, of a PR company. Life was good and I lost it.
Did you feel like a criminal?
To be honest, no, I didn't. I felt a rage about the fact that I'd been arrested, and I felt... I think the truth is, Sean, that the day before I'd actually been to see a solicitor because I just knew it was inevitable. So in a way, I was mentally prepared. And so when they dragged me off down to the police station, they stuck me in a cell and I was waiting for my lawyer, a guy called Phil Smith, is the guy who carried me through this. I sort of sat there and I was going to be there for a couple of hours or so, and I thought I can either drive myself mad here or I lied down and dozed off, actually.
Really? You were able to do that?
In a way, it was nothing to do with reality. I mean, it was real, of course, but it was nothing to do with reality in the sense that it already felt part of a show trial. The whole thing feels like a political event. Now, that's not in any way to downcry any crimes that have been committed. Phone hacking is wrong. You know, what happened with Millie Dowler, the fact her phone was hacked at all, was disgusting and unconscionable. However, I sort of feel that there is an issue of proportionality. And the idea, when they're cutting police numbers, they are purging areas of investigation where they used to be full of staff, and they've got 180 police officers investigating phone hacking and associated incidents. It's not rape. It's not murder. It isn't bank robbery. It isn't violence against people. It is completely disproportionate. And this is bad, not just for the individual like caught up in it, like I was for 20 months. I honestly believe it's bad for society because this is political policing.
Let's look at that political policing notion that you mentioned. There was a huge row with the commissioner in number 10 when the Prime Minister spoke of ordering inquiries to be reopened. And, of course, the commissioner's office were very keen to say, well, no, we make all operational policing decisions. Are you saying that there's a danger that policing and government are too close to each other?
People use their muscle if they're allowed to get away with it. So the government are trying to get their way, as they do try to get their way in everything. But traditionally in Britain, the police have insisted on retaining operational independence. It's an absolute tenet of policing in this country. I fear policing is now responding to political pressure in a way that it never did before. Now, that's not to suggest reopening the Wheating and reopening the phone hacking was in any way wrong. You know, some very bad things have come out and very wrong things. But it comes down to that word proportionality. There are 30 police officers investigating the Jimmy Savile and allied cases. There have so far been in excess of 500 victims have come out over the country. there are 180 police investigating phone hacking and the assorted crimes.
On that point of proportionality, it's a really interesting point you make. Who do you blame for that?
I blame the police and the CPS in the sense that they were right to reopen the case, but they were wrong, totally wrong, to play to the political gallery. But I think what we're seeing is a very adroit attempt by the establishment and the police to actually seize back power, seize back information, and to restrict immensely what is has over the years started to go into the public domain.
Hear, hear with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
We'll hear a little more from Neil Wallis later on some of his thoughts around press regulation and where we move forward. But Len Bitopic is with me in studio. He's got a fair point, hasn't he, on proportionality, 180 police officers investigating phone hacking?
Really? My heart bleeds for the poor man from the News of the World.
Oh, I hope you're not being sarcastic.
I think I am being a little bit sarcastic, as you might say. Come on, this newspaper published an article one time, front page, that said, I lost Lembit's baby. Where was the public interest in telling me that my former partner had miscarried my child on the front page? And now he's saying, oh, I feel really bad about the way I've been treated. Well, listen, mate, listen, Mr. Wallace, if you were at my end of this experience, if you were at the end of hundreds of people that newspaper used to work with destroyed good faith in, well, then you'd maybe have a different point of view. So I can't bring myself to feel particularly sorry for Neil. OK, he had a miscarriage of justice. Every time they put out a dishonest article, some article which didn't actually reflect the facts, they were actually responsible for the same. So maybe he got a taste of his own medicine. And that ends the party political broadcast on behalf of everyone who suffered from the News of the World. Now I'm going to calm down a bit.
Well, no, I'm really interested in what you said, because there have been an awful lot of headlines about you. That's the one that has pulled at your heart the most, is it?
It was one of the worst. And then this other stuff about Love Rat, that I left a former partner to go out with a cheeky girl. Absolute 100%, 180 degrees wrong. A lie, a libelous lie. But they never corrected that, because that would have got in the way of a good story. So, OK, Neil Wallace, you know, feel bad for yourself. Why don't you feel worse for the people whose lives you wrecked by getting millions of people to read untrue stories about them? You didn't have to put up with that. Why should we?
I think as a journalist, and ostensibly I'm a broadcast journalist, I've only really, you know, forayed into print journalism for features and various stories ad hoc. But I don't think we'll have anybody, whether they're a print journalist or anybody else for that matter, defending that kind of front page headline. And that's when we get into an argument about the public interest.
What's frustrating about this is it's still happening. The News of the World was shut down because Rupert Murdoch was incredibly embarrassed by this quagmire of dishonesty and law-breaking, which we can safely say occurred. We know that that was the case. It was proved in court at least once. And he shut it down not because he particularly cared about all of... Well, let me not say that. I can't second-guess what was in Rupert Murdoch's mind. But we can say that he didn't shut it down when people's lives were being wrecked.
Had you personally not been on the wrong end of the press, do you think you would hold the same view today that you do?
Possibly not. If I hadn't actually experienced the full cynicism and amorality of the written press, then quite possibly I wouldn't have appreciated how bad it got. I probably wouldn't have believed that in the United Kingdom people would be treated like that. Maybe it's the experiences that I've had that have made me such an evangelist for press regulation.
Do you think some of them have really warped your perspective?
Not warped my perspective, it's informed my perspective.
Putting this sensitively, because you have been on the wrong side, there is no question about that, but is it not a bit self-indulgent to say that because I have been treated as an individual in an absolutely unacceptable way, let's not beat about the bush on that one. Is it not wrong of you then to say that because you've been treated badly and others have been treated badly, that actually the freedom of the press, which is inalienable, linked in with freedom of expression and effectively information of the public, to change on that basis alone?
If I was doing it as a vendetta, if I was doing it because I want to get my own back, then maybe. But that's not the reason I take such a strong view. It's because it can't work if what you're reading is suspect about people, but at the same time, the people don't really have any serious way of getting justice. I couldn't afford to take these people to court. I didn't have hundreds of thousands of pounds.
You couldn't afford to do that?
No, and I was on a good salary as an MP. And also, I couldn't spend 2 years having my life deconstructed away from my work and everything else.
Now I think would be an absolutely fantastic time to hear from the Hacked Off campaign. Unfortunately, they didn't return the bid requests that we stuck in there. So let's instead take a listen to some of the opinions of people who have booed in.
Have I got boos for you?
Sibby Mead is a journalist and she's in favour of some regulation, but not by the state.
We should have the freedom to constructively scrutinise and criticise those in power and those who are influential to the rest of us. It's my duty and it's my responsibility as a journalist to get those stories.
Sean has been thinking along similar lines, though he has his doubts as to whether state regulation can actually work.
I don't think legislation is the right way to go. I think tighter controls from a regulatory body that is totally independent.
Blind Abilities is American and wonders if we're asking the wrong question.
It's the misinformation stuff that really is interesting. Man, I wish weathermen were required to abide by all this. I wish they had batting averages, you know, like down in the corner like baseball players do.
James O'Malley there for Audio Boo. Thank you very much indeed, James. Do you see what we've done with the title there, Lemmy?
I think that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
You've actually presented Have I Got News For You before,
No, you're a guest on it. I've been a guest on it seven times.
They really mocked you. You played the harmonica.
I've always got my harmonica, but I'm not going to...
Yeah, but you don't play it on national television in front of comedians.
Sorry,
you did.
You're just jealous.
All right, well, anyway, look, if you want to get involved, there is a Have I Got Boos for you. Are you doing that now?
Let's have a blast of that.
Come on, then you get your harmonica out.
That's the Press Freedom Blues.
Wasn't very long, was it?
Well, because
sorry, I'm bringing back bad memories.
You looked away, you dozed off even in that one bar. That's
right. If you want to get involved with Have I Got Boos For You, you can visit the Have I Got Boos For You channel on audioboo.fm, or you can find out how to get involved in the show generally at hearhearshow.co.uk.
Hear Hear with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo. Sign up for your free account now.
And remember, you can do that at audioboo.fm or find out how at hearhearshow.co.uk. And by the way, if you like us, why not give us a mention on Twitter and Facebook? Lembit, earlier we were talking about the experiences that you have had. There would be people who say, well, come on, you know, you go around dating cheeky girls and, you know, all the rest of it. Is there not an element that you bring this on yourself?
Yes, there is. And part of that's fair play. People in a free press are entitled to have an opinion. But, you know, I'll tell you for nothing, I'm never going to be told by the media who I should love and who I shouldn't love. So I'm not going to change my relationship decisions based on what the press and jealous journalists, I would hazard a guess, want to tell me about that. But that's still not an excuse for libel. The thing I really dislike is the libel, is the lies. There is no excuse for that, however much you court the media or don't court the media. And to some extent, I was naive about that. I assumed that the press would have opinions, which is fair enough. Some people like it, some people don't like it. I'm kind of a Marmite character in that sense. But they should have.
I wouldn't want your mic crumpets, I tell you.
Well, hey, it's a family show.
Listen, do you know what? I think we need some light relief here, as a matter of fact. You got your harmonica, Lemmy?
I've always got my harmonica, yes.
All right, let's have some more of the Press Freedom Blues.
I got the Press Freedom Blues.
Bom, 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 bom.
What was that?
It was accompaniment.
I can't work in these conditions. I'm a professional. Honestly, you've blown the whole thing.
All right, let's
move on that.
Oh, dear. When state regulation comes in, I'm in trouble, I think.
Ready for the harmonica.
On the issue of Neil Wallace, and I appreciate that, to say the least, you don't seem to be a big fan of his.
Not a great fan, because while I don't wish ill on him, his bleeding heart self-pity for having been treated badly doesn't really sit comfortably with all of those people who were treated in exactly the same way or worse by the News of the World itself.
Well, what of habeas corpus, the idea of keeping the man on bail for 18 months?
Well, you know what, I've kind of lived on bail, if you want to use that phrase, for years.
No, this is police bail, where he thought he was going to be prosecuted, possibly even convicted of a criminal offence for which there was insufficient evidence.
Right, if you sup with the devil, sometimes you're going to get your fingers burned. And he was playing fast and loose Or let me be precise about that. He was actually working for a newspaper that paid fast and loose with people's feelings, with the facts, and with libel. Now, I'm not saying that he should be treated badly himself, but it's very hard to feel sorry for somebody who worked for a newspaper which knowingly wrecked people's lives and did it in an amoral way which didn't suggest that they had the slightest respect for all that stuff you said about Thomas Jefferson before. It's a two-way street.
You know, did they not also blow the top off things with the fake shake, for example, and cricket corruption and all sorts of, you know, numerous stories over the years?
Some of the stories were worthwhile and lots of them weren't. Where was the public interest in wrecking people's lives on the basis of their sex lives? A lot of the time there's no public interest.
Yeah, well, OK, that's a fair point. But then I guess if Jefferson were here today, and I'm afraid I'm the best you're going to get just by reading his words on press freedom.
You're just as good as Jefferson, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. I've not really founded very much. No, but he would say that, yeah, OK, that, you know, there are going to be these abuses and there are people who are going to be treated appallingly. I don't think anybody would doubt you're one of those people then, but... But the idea of bad people not being caught,
because
some people have abused the current setup.
But I'm not saying that everything that newspapers do should be vetted. I'm saying that people can have an opinion about, say, myself or other people in the public eye, but it's the libel, it's the unwillingness to show respect for facts. And you know what? Jefferson probably did not have in mind a free press which was blatantly disregarding facts just for the sake of a good story. That's why they've shown themselves unable to regulate themselves. And as I said at the very beginning of our conversation, I'm just about as libertarian as anyone you'll ever find who wants to regulate drugs.
Except on this issue.
Yes, except on this issue, because I actually think that they imprison...
Who would have thought a Lib Dem going back on their own beliefs, eh?
Hang on, I never made a pledge on this one. My pledge is for freedom. And you become imprisoned by a corrupt media. Responsible reporting has oftentimes exposed bad things. For example, Tam Dyel, who was a very important Labour Member of Parliament, exposed the fact that under Margaret Thatcher, the Belgrano, which was an Argentinian battleship, was actually sunk and many, many lives lost while it was steaming away from the battlefield.
Well, do you know, I almost think we'll do a Here special on the Falklands at some point. Okay. We're not going to get into that debate now. What I will say is you are listening to Here. Here. My name's Sean Dilley, alongside Lembis Opik, and Thomas Jefferson's with us in spirit somewhere, isn't he?
embodied in you, sir.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a listen now to some more of Neil Wallis. And you can listen to the whole interview, incidentally, later in the week on the Here Here channel, right here, here on Audioboo. But we did also ask him about his views on freedom of the press generally and how we move forward.
The last thing I think you can begin to believe is politicians saying that they want freedom of the press, but they want to control how that, the limit, shall we say, of that freedom. It's laughable.
Obviously, the Prime Minister has spoken out against the notion of restricting press freedom, yet it seems I think we get an idea there, ladies and gentlemen, of Neil's view. But you could elaborate on that.
Well, I think...
Crocodile tears.
Crocodile tears is an excellent way to describe it, Sean. You should be a journalist, mate.
I'll try one day.
What you saw with Leveson, Cameron panicked. Cameron gave the points of reference, the scale of what Leveson could do, was greater by many-fold than the rights of the inquiry, for instance, into the Iraq War. The Iraq War was tightly controlled, etc., etc. Leveson was basically, by a panicking, weak prime minister, was allowed to have the most swinging rights to attack the press than there's been since before Magna Carta. I think essentially Cameron is a weak prime minister who panicked. His office was becoming inveigled because of who he had employed into the whole phone hacking row. He had a knee-jerk response, which was, in fact, is quite typical of his rule when you actually follow him through in other areas, which you could probably point out more easily than I could. But when he said no to Leveson, there will be no statutory regulation, which was absolutely the right thing to do. But as soon as the going got tough, he then moved into the press charter nonsense, which, of course, involves politicians and involves, yes, some sort of statutory regulation.
Licensing by another name.
Licensing by another name,
which
we got rid
of
319 years ago.
Broadcast media, generally on traditional radio, that is regulated by statute.
When broadcasting became possible, less than a century ago, as it were, we already had a free press. And to be fair, as you go forward, there is a huge difference in the role between broadcast media, which I include television and radio, and what the press does. Broadcast media is not highly partisan, it's not highly colourful, it's not ornery, bad-tempered, irascible, provocative, campaigning usually. It has a different function. So therefore, if we take broadcast to be what we think it is, which is effectively straight down the line reporting and covering an investigation where no bias in any way can be tolerated, because that comes into our home. Print media, you have to physically make a decision to go out and vote every day on spending your money to buy it. And you buy the one that suits you. I can make those choices. I'm entitled. That's what's called freedom.
Here, here with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
So you don't have to buy the papers. It's a choice, Lembits.
That's right. And I haven't got a big issue about bias. My issue is about honesty. Three things I'd do. Number one, I would say that you should have exactly the same amount of space as the libel took in the first place. Secondly, a journalist who's found guilty of libel twice in, say, a 2 or 3 year period should be barred from...
Found guilty by whom? Because a court doesn't tend to find against the individual, it's the publication, isn't
Yes, that's why I would personalise it. I would say that the individual journalist is now liable. And the third one is that the individual journalist should be personally financially liable, and anything that they can't pay is then taken up by the newspaper.
Hacked Off are claiming a bit of success in their campaign, aren't they?
They've had some success, but we know from what the Prime Minister said, David Cameron, he wasn't that keen on the Leveson's conclusions, and I still think we've had a watered-down result.
Yeah, but we heard Neil Wallace, he said they're crocodile tears, and actually he's probably part of it all along.
Isn't it amazing that Neil Wallace even bites Prime Ministerial hand that seeks to feed the media? I mean, that's how...
You know, I think you two should just kiss and make up.
Actually, I'm quite good at wrestling. Maybe we should settle this with a splash, if anybody knows wrestling who's listening.
Right.
A splash and a bit of...
I think journalists know the term splash as well, actually. That's normally what appears on the front page.
Different kind of splash. It's not that I've got a vendetta against Neil Wallace, but I've got very little truck with his crocodile tears about the way he felt, because he's a guy who's part of that system. I've never heard him campaigning for a more responsible press. So, you know, if Neil, you want to have a pint and tell me what your plan is, what your three-part plan is to make it more responsible, I'll even buy the first
round.
Would
you do that?
Yes, I would.
And I'll put it to Neil. Maybe we can record a little bit.
I would love to do that, and we'll sit there, and also I'll make a little note to see whether he buys the same number of rounds as me.
Ooh.
That'd be an interesting one.
Okay, well, look, Lembit, your pick of stories from the week that aren't press regulators.
I'm all pumped up now. I have to calm down a bit and think about
the real
news.
Where's the harmonica?
That's what you're
really
getting for
that. All right, fair enough. but you know, there are a couple of things you've spotted this week. The Queen's speech.
Yeah. Looking at the real news.
Is real news?
Oh, it is. My argy-bargy with
Neil Wallace, okay, fair enough.
Is an opinion, and I hope that your listeners will actually get involved in that debate, because there are two sides to it.
Have I Got Boo for You channel or hearhearshow.co.uk?
Nice little plug. I like that.
You'd expect nothing less.
The Queen's speech was very
immigration-dominated.
Lots of stuff in the Queen's speech. The immigration one is the most interesting. I don't think any government in the last 20 years has had a serious immigration policy. Anybody who looks at the facts knows the immigrant community pretty much props up our economy, and we can't do it without them. At the same time, it's a big, big hot potato because UKIP have done so well. Nigel Farage has been superb at building his party's reputation. So I think we'll get lots of words. We probably won't get much action because it's unenforceable.
And without treading over any legal lines, the deputy speaker, Nigel Evans, was the other pick, arrested on allegations of indecent assault and rape. We should declare an interest. Mm. We are both good friends of Nigel's.
That's right. I've known Nigel for many, many years.
So, universally popular in Westminster. Hasn't
really, really likable guy. One of the most popular deputy speakers that there's ever been there. And as you say, tempting as it is, we mustn't comment on the actual allegations. But I'll tell
you. No, they'll go through the normal processes. Yeah. But I mean, I would personally go as far as to say that I would trust Nigel implicitly with any of my affairs.
We can wish him well. I think that's safe. And I hope that this whole issue is resolved quickly, because this kind of thing is a distraction.
Maybe there could be an argument that there should be anonymity for people in these circumstances.
Well, I'll tell you what does happen. Everybody's got an opinion. And while we may not be allowed to express an opinion officially regularly on this programme. You know as well as I do, if we go to the pub for a pint off the record, we'll both have an opinion about it.
We will have an opinion, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what happens. As soon as you put something out like this, you start creating a kind of a trial by newspapers.
I think, Lembit, you and I have been friends for many years, but you know, you're falling into that politician's trap of, I'm asking you whether you think there should be anonymity for people accused of sexual offences, and that's what I'm trying to get
right
at, really.
The answer is yes. I think there should be, because the actual suggestion of guilt is, to many people, tantamount to guilt. Look, Sean, we're being cautious with our words because we're on air.
Absolutely.
That doesn't happen in pubs. It doesn't happen on the omnibus. It doesn't happen when people meet up. However sanctimonious we might be about those legal borders on this programme, that's not what happens when you walk down the street.
Fair point. OK, before I let you go, Lembit, you've turned to yet another career. Not happy with wrestling and harmonica playing. You should consider busking. You're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
But you're now managing musical bands. That's
right. I've got three particular interest at the moment. Reap, R-E-A-P, wonderful band, very, very impressive, up and coming from the Midlands. Rebecca Baines, who is a fantastic folk rock singer, and Rosie Chaos, who is getting big in the London scene and very, very popular singer at the moment, tends to sell out. And I've got the honour of working with them, and Stedman Pearson. Do you remember Five Star from the 1980s, 90s?
Very vaguely, Lembit.
He was, yes, as if you were so young, as if you were so much younger than me. Well, I'm managing Stedman Pearson as well, so watch this space. There's a lot of music coming your way, and if you ask me nicely, I might even bring one of them in.
Lembit Opik, as lively as I expected. Thank you for being the guest
you.
Of the week.
A pleasure.
You've been listening to Hear Hear. Read more about it at hearhearshow.co.uk. And if you've enjoyed the show, go on, give us a mention on Twitter. You know you want to. Or why not embed us on Facebook? You know you want to do that as well. Next week, we'll be joined by Liam Gallimore-Wells from Operation Black Vote. Are the mainstream political parties doing enough to address the concerns of black men and women across the United Kingdom? And should those concerns be different to everyone else's?
Hear, hear, with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Right, can we go down to the pub and talk about Nigel Evans now?
Yeah, he's a good guy, isn't he?
He's a good old boy. He really is decent.
Are these still on? Hear, hear is an Audio Boo production. Produced by Dolores William. Engineered by Charlie Brandon King at UBC Media. Special thanks to Lembit Opik for music today. James O'Malley reported for Audio Boo.